This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for my weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, Greg. Thanks for having me.
As always, busy week in politics. Let's start with the big news of the day up on Capitol Hill, and that's that Scott Brown is no longer senator-elect here within the span of today. He'll soon be the official senator filling the remainder of Ted Kennedy's term.
Yes, he's the 41st senator, which means essentially health care reform, as Harry Reid and other Democrats know it, is dead on arrival. He made that abundantly clear in his campaign, and the White House more or less concedes that. It'll be interesting. His first major test will be on Monday when the nomination of Craig Becker, former counsel to the Service Employees International Union, comes up for a vote in the Senate, and whether or not a filibuster against a man who's a wholly owned subsidiary of Andrew Stern, the SEIU president, either sustains or gets through. It'll be interesting to watch.
John, do you think there will be any sort of pared-down health care bill later this year?
No. Health care is finished, and I think it's a repeat performance of the 1993 Clinton Health Care Act. Albeit versions of this did get to votes in the Senate or the House, a final version won't emerge out of conference.
John, you don't believe health care reform will pass. You're also hearing word apparently from the Hill that immigration reform is headed down the same path.
I would definitely say dead on arrival and buried. The president did mention it in his State of the Union address, but increasingly, Democrats who were exhausted and saw their strength sapped by the debate on health care reform just don't want to go through something again that may not ever see the light of day and make more enemies than it makes friends. Senator Harry Reid and Charles Schumer, who are cobbling together a compromise package on immigration reform and looking for help from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, said, "We're not sure of the time when it will come up," which means it probably will never come up this year.
John, let's talk about a couple other issues before we get to the raw politics of the primary election season. First of all, in December, the Washington, D.C. City Council approved gay marriage, but there's a holding period before Congress gives the up or down or decides just to let it become law. Of course, the other side of this wants to see a referendum, allow the people of Washington to decide what the definition of marriage is here. And now at least one lawmaker is getting involved.
That's Senator Robert Bennett of Utah. The Senate and the House of Representatives have the last word in oversight over the District of Columbia. It is not a state, not yet anyway, and the members of Congress do the last-minute overseeing. Along those lines, Senator Bennett has offered legislation to delay the gay marriage legislation enacted by the D.C. City Council until the residents of the district, including me, have a chance to vote on it. It has a companion piece in the House of Representatives, so this will be very interesting to watch. My guess is that the bill will pass and gay marriage will not pass in the district.
So you believe that the Democratic leadership in both houses will allow this resolution to be voted on?
I think they have to, because they've talked so much about enfranchising people and going back to the civil rights movement, expanding the power to vote. And the many champions of statehood are going to look very, very hypocritical if they don't permit a vote by the residents of the district.
All right, John, let's move to some of the electoral politics of the last few days. One of the safest Democrats we probably thought a couple of years ago heading into this election cycle is Indiana Democrat Evan Bayh. Republicans tried to get the number three House Republican, Mike Pence, into the race. He declined, and he had a good reason. Explain.
Well, his reason was, according to one Republican senator I spoke to yesterday, that there was another candidate who would be getting into the race who would be well-known and strong, and that is former Senator Dan Coats, who served in the House and later held the Senate seat for about 10 years until he retired, and Evan Bayh came in and won it. Now, he has since been ambassador to Germany under George W. Bush, and after 12 years out of the political limelight, is seriously exploring another race for the seat. Now, whether he runs or not, Evan Bayh still will face a spirited Republican challenge. Former Congressman John Hostetler is in the race, and State Senator Marvin Stutzman, considered an attractive candidate, is running.
Let's move over to Illinois. They had their primary on February 2nd, and as expected, the Republican Senate nominee is Mark Kirk, and I hope I'm saying this right. The Democratic nominee, state treasurer, is Alexis Janulius. It's obviously a blue state, the president's home state, but you think Republicans have a chance?
Absolutely. And Janulius beat two other Democrats by a less than impressive margin. This is someone who's the straight treasurer, comes from a wealthy banking family, and has been dubbed the Greek Obama because of his closeness to the president. Alexis Janulius, after emerging from his primary bruised, now faces Mark Kirk, who won convincingly. A Rasmussen Reports poll showed Republican Kirk defeating Democrat Janulius by a margin of 46% to 40%. Not bad in a state that's only had one Republican senator for 6 years in the last 30 years.
That's been Peter Fitzgerald, and obviously that seems like a distant memory for Illinois Republicans who have had a very rough stretch over the past few years. Let's move over to Arkansas now, and the recent polls there show the approval ratings for incumbent Democrat Blanche Lincoln about as low as you can go.
Absolutely. Every month when Blanche Lambert Lincoln is tested, she drops in hardcore support. She's now down to 35 to 36% against any of the seven Republicans who are vying for nomination to oppose her. The latest candidate in the race, Congressman John Boozman, defeats her handily with about half the total votes cast. My guess is she may choose the better part of valor and get out of the race.
John, let's talk about another issue up on Capitol Hill this week, and that was the bipartisan group of senators. You don't hear that phrase very often these days, but they are trying to get the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial and his co-conspirators on trial back before a military tribunal, threatening to defund any sort of federal trial in civilian court. Will they succeed?
My guess is that the administration will work to short-circuit this by letting them declare a victory and then moving the trial on their own. I believe that the Attorney General bit off more than he could chew when he chose New York as the venue, and this created all kinds of criticism. I can remember former Attorney General Mike Mukasey, himself a New York lawyer, telling me that this was a formula for mischief that could lead to murder on the part of followers of the Sheikh, and that everything that goes on in New York is magnified in the press 10 times. Finally, I believe the Justice Department is getting the word, and the Sheikh will be tried elsewhere. Whether it goes back to a military tribunal, difficult to say at this point.
John, a lot of balls in the air up on Capitol Hill and elsewhere. Thanks, as always, for being with us.
Putting on my juggler's outfit and holding them up pretty well, I think. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.